from the beautiful Emerald Empire of Seattle, Washington, and the studios of KUOW Seattle, where it is drizzling. Yes, I'm John Hockenberry here for The Takeaway. Todd Zwillick is co-hosting along with me from WNYC in New York. And Todd, I guess you didn't really know that there was a math angle to the Trayvon Martin story, did you?
I had no idea. There seems to be every other kind of angle, so why not angle? But it's an interesting one.
Well, The Takeaway has your math angle to the Trayvon Martin story, but quite seriously, a conversation now about how race and low expectations can determine the course of careers and slam doors to the talented and capable. Last week, National Review columnist John Derbyshire wrote a column ostensibly related to the Trayvon Martin shooting, in which he apparently intended to deliver some realistic clarity to the differences between the races. He got himself fired instead. Among the things he noted was that no black had ever won a Fields Medal. That's the Nobel Prize, essentially, for brilliance in mathematics for scholars under the age of 40. Derbyshire didn't venture a theory in his clumsy language as to why this was the case. He just considered the fact self-evident, part of why he got fired, we can only presume. But there's more to that story, according to our mathematician next guest. Jonathan Farley is a professor of mathematics at the University of Maine and recipient of the Harvard Foundation's Scientist of the Year Medal in 2004. Jonathan Farley, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much for having me.
So the detail in Derbyshire's column, it seemed to have really set you off in a very persuasive and compelling piece that you wrote for The Guardian right afterwards, indicating, hey, there are good reasons, perhaps, not good, but understandable reasons why no African-American has won a Fields Medal, as regrettable as that sounds. Tell me your story.
Well, my story begins in 2002 when I was a math professor at Vanderbilt University, and I happened to write an article having nothing to do with my job about a statue honoring the founder of the Ku Klux Klan in Nashville. Believe it or not, they have one, which was paid for with taxpayer funds. And I got dozens of death threats. Literally over 1,000 phone calls were made, according to the local newspaper, and even the head of my university attacked me. The spokesman for the university saying that my article in the newspaper was rightly offensive to and rejected by most people, my criticism of the founder of the Ku Klux Klan. And I actually had to flee. My belongings are still in Nashville, or at least I left them there. I had a permanent job, but I had to leave it. So these are the kinds of things that are going to happen to African-American mathematicians or people in other areas, which aren't going to happen to any white mathematician or white Fields medalist. Specifically,
are you saying that speaking up about politics from a well-founded and passionate sort of personal connection, because you are African-American and obviously an individual like that, founder of the Ku Klux Klan, would naturally be offensive to all people, really, that somehow pulls you away from being qualified for the upper echelons of academia? Are you not allowed to speak out on public issues within academia, in your view?
Apparently. In fact, there are consequences even long after this. For example, I went to a conference happened to be in Denmark, but there were Americans there. And for some reason, one of the speakers talked about how Abraham Lincoln, the U.S. president, had no right to fight the Civil War, and that the Confederacy, the pro-slavery side, actually had the right to secede. And I just objected as politely as I could. And at the end of the conference, this man shouted tons of expletives at me in front of the audience of about 80-plus people. And the head of the organization hosting the conference didn't really understand what was going on because he was Danish, but he sort of blamed me for inspiring this man's expletive-laden outburst. So there can be consequences professionally merely for speaking about slavery and how awful it actually was.
There's two issues here. The first one, it strikes me, is do mathematicians live in a bubble and sometimes say outlandish things, even though they're quite intelligent on theorems of algebra and computation?
Well, Derbyshire has written a book, I don't want to plug it, on mathematics. And so he obviously is an example of someone who says something really stupid and offensive. It's very similar to Larry Summers' comments in 2005 about how women couldn't do math, which wasn't, and his comments were not based on any science, any real science.
You know, one of the things in your story in The Guardian really struck me. I went to, I studied mathematics at the University of Chicago, where Saunders MacLean was the head of the department. a person who I absolutely revered. But the story you told of Saunders McLean refusing to stand up against the racist practices of colleagues at a conference that he attended completely transformed my view of him.
Yeah, well, Saunders McLean is a well-known mathematician. He wrote a great book on algebra with my undergraduate thesis advisor. And that book actually inspired my mathematics. But Saunders McLean himself, when he was president of the Mathematical Association of America in the 1950s, refused to allow some black mathematicians to attend the conference. And this is the kind of thing that Derbyshire doesn't take into account, that your career, if you're going to be a Fields Medal winner, has to be you have to be able to interact with other mathematicians. And McLean refused to stand up. And this is a story told by Lee Lorch, who was white, but he was the head of the math department of three, containing three black mathematicians who wanted to attend the conference.
Do you think African-American mathematicians are isolated in the way that you have found yourself, and that isolation is part of this career retardation, or these retarded kind of quality in a career that prevents early achievement that is so essential in the field of mathematics?
Well, there are lots of black mathematicians, and there are black mathematics groups. What happened to me was unusual, but what gives me hope is that I think in 2012, what happened to me in 2002 could not happen. That I believe that the people at Vanderbilt who supported the, who sided with the Klan supporters, even calling them old friends, would not now dare to say some of the things that they said back then. So I think the future is bright for black mathematicians and mathematicians of all colors when it comes to this issue.
Can you name someone besides yourself who might be a candidate for the Fields Medal in the next 5 years?
Well, I'm not a candidate, but I hope to help create a situation where there will be more African and African-American contenders for the Fields Medal.
He's a professor at the University of Maine, Jonathan Farley, professor of mathematics and recipient of the Harvard Foundation Scientist of the Year Medal in 2004. Jonathan, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.